He's a political commentator and publisher of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. She's a mom and former Emmy Award-winning reporter for KMGH Channel 7 and KDVR Fox 31. Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden on News Talk 710, KNUS.
All right, Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden here on Friday, 3 after 1 o'clock on 710 KNUS. It's party day.
Heading into a three-day weekend, holiday weekend.
I must admit, you know, since I was a bachelor most of my life, Friday was always hunting day, right? You'd always go out and hunt them down on Friday and then bag them on Saturday.
Good grief.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm hashtag me too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All the women I'd see at the bars, they were there for literary purposes.
They were. They were hoping that you were their soulmate or their sugar daddy, one or the other.
All right. Well, beyond that.
Thank you for sharing that, Chuck.
Well, you know, on Friday we like to go beyond the usual.
That's right. Given that, let's bring up Peter Brimelow.
I do want to note we've gotten a reprieve, you know, from the god-awful John McCain Revolta Fest funeral. Aretha Franklin has died, and the same phonies are there slobbering all over her. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, saying, you know, they were
Al Sharpton even too.
Al Sharpton,
I didn't realize he was such an Aretha Franklin fan.
Yeah, well,
anyway.
He just is today. You know, tomorrow it's something else. But now moving on to Peter Brimelow. He's one of the founders of VDARE, which has become controversial in Colorado now for months, really, ever since. John Souther screwed things up in Colorado Springs. John Souther's our official New York City Republican, and he said he's going to withdraw all city support because a couple of people are going to meet on a journalistic basis at some hotel.
But Peter, thank you.
Thank you
for your time. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Sure. The main reason we wanted to talk to you today was to help sort of set the record straight about VDARE. We talked yesterday night, and Casey, our producer, told us that he sent you the Channel 4 report by reporter Sean Boyd, which to me is nothing but an ambush hit job on Walker Stapleton. The entire premise of the thing is and the fact that Tom Tancredo is associated with a white nationalist, and that's just a code word for white supremacist organization, which is...
Well, as Tom said, which is worse. I forgot.
Yeah, really. Which is your organization, right? She doesn't even give the organization so people can look it up for themselves. Doesn't mention that just earlier this month, Attorney General Jeff Sessions kind of disavowed all relationship or partnership with it for the Department of Justice, saying...
What do you mean by it?
But with the Southern Poverty Law Center. The only reason... That's the one who call you guys this name. And even Sessions is like, this is a completely ridiculous outfit anymore, Southern Poverty Law Center.
Let's play the one with Sean. Do you see it on the board, Casey? Trying to find the Sean...
We wanted to play the report. Okay,
got
here.
It.
So, Peter, just a little bit of the report.
Republican candidate for governor of Colorado is finally confronting questions about his family's past.
Yeah, for the first time, Walker Stapleton is talking candidly about his great-grandfather's role in the KKK to our Sean Boyd. Our political specialist, Sean Boyd, joins us now. And, Sean, this is certainly a very tough subject.
Yeah, and Walker Stapleton has been reluctant to talk about this ugly chapter in his family history, saying his great-grandfather died 25 years before he was born. But in a sit-down interview with me, Stapleton opened up about his past, his views on racism, and his endorsement by a man who defended a white nationalist organization.
Walker Stapleton comes from a long line of public servants, something he touted in a campaign ad for treasurer, noting his great-grandfather served 5 terms as Denver's mayor.
His accomplishments include building the first civic center in Colorado, helping to reinvigorate the Denver park system, including right here at Red Rocks, and building Colorado's first municipal airport.
But Benjamin Stapleton's legacy also includes a dark chapter. He was a high-ranking member of the Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s. Stapleton says he's not his great-grandfather, but he hasn't expressly denounced the elder Stapleton's involvement in the KKK until now.
Do you want to condemn that?
I categorically condemn racism of all forms, and I categorically condemn hate organizations, and they will have no place in my administration as governor.
But Stapleton's critics note the man who introduced him at the state assembly, former congressman and immigration hardliner Tom Tancredo, sat on the board of a white nationalist organization. They insist Stapleton is associating with Tancredo for the same reason his great-grandfather did the KKK. for political gain.
Just because somebody makes a decision to endorse me doesn't mean I endorse all of their views.
You talked about making Tom potentially your lieutenant governor.
No, I never did.
Bringing him into your cabinet.
That's not true. I never did. He wouldn't take the job. I never did. That is absolutely not true. That is laughable.
Flashback to this interview with KNUS Radio.
Well, that gives a flavor of the hit job.
Right. So, Peter, your reaction to that?
Well, I'm at a loss to know where to start. I see that they don't mention that Tom Crater was a multi-term congressman.
Right.
And actually ran a very creditable run for president and was credited with introducing the immigration issue. At the time. Now, of course, once he dropped out and, I believe, endorsed McCain, the issues just simply went to sleep, and the Republican establishment continued to ignore it, with the result that they got Donald Trump. They deserve him. But Tom was sort of a John the Baptist figure at that point, and he had a long and distinguished career in Congress, and it's just surprising to me that Walker Stapleton.
Uh-huh.
Didn't mention that. Now, in our case, I've been 40 years in mainstream financial journalism, and for a long time in the 1990s, I was associated with National Review. And at that time, National Review surfaced the immigration issue, not just illegal, but also legal immigration issue. And we argued that it should be cut back. At a certain point in the late 90s, Bill Buckley cocked on us and fired all the people who were saying this, including the editor. And so at that point, I found into VDare.com, because then it was impossible to get criticism of immigration policy into the mainstream media. We found it in 1999, and we've been running it ever since. And of course, from our point of view, in 2015, August 15th, the president came along, Donald Trump came along and issued an immigration statement, which is exactly the kind of thing we've been saying for the previous 17 or 16 years or whatever it was. We're essentially supporting the president's line on immigration. Now, of course, there are lots of people, not just in the Democratic Party, but in the Republican Party, who desperately don't want to hear this. And they'll use it, as a question of any stigma that they can come up with. And so they think if they holler white nationalists or white supremacists long enough, this will go away. But it won't, because the issue, it's gone into politics, and it's going to be very, very difficult to put back.
What do you think? We're talking to Peter Brimlow,
I just want to correct one thing. Tom, when he dropped out and endorsed Mitt Romney, he didn't endorse John McCain.
Oh. Yeah, Mitt Romney, 2012, wasn't it?
Right.
I'm afraid the years are going by.
I can relate there. We're talking with Peter Brimlow, though, who is a member of VDARE, which is the organization. It's an immigration reform organization. It's not a white nationalist organization.
Right.
That Channel 4 and Sean Boyd. Like I said, you guys, the Southern Poverty Law Center was hit earlier this summer with a $3.4 million payment and a public apology after falsely claiming another organization was a hate group. Yeah, I think, like I said, we should start a GoFundMe page so you guys could sue them. Mm-hmm. But first of all, why don't you explain to folks sort of, how do you fight something like this? Or can you even fight something like this?
Well, Julie, one of the things we've learned over the last 15 years or so is that mud does stick. And because of that, we are gearing up to start litigating more in this area.
Yeah.
People just casually call you. Well, you say good, but it's extremely expensive.
Well, yeah.
Are either of you lawyers?
Chuck,
yeah, I am.
Quite honestly, Chuck, dealing with lawyers is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And, you should be married to one, Peter.
But we just have to do it, because we can't have people casually going around corners
It's amazing how if you get a reputation for being litigious, how people are a great deal more.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, because I was a TV reporter in Denver for 30 years, and I know Sean Boyd, that reporter, and this was unlike her, and to me signifies, I think, a really unpleasant shift in Denver media attitudes, that she was, one, just such a hit job on both Tom Tancredo and Walker Stapleton, who I'm sure both felt completely betrayed by her, because that's typically not her MO. But secondly, she knows better than to just, she's getting that from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which any credible reporter knows has been discredited as an objective source of what a hate group is. And she just flat out says, and the anchors say, white nationalist organization. She doesn't even give your name. Which is maybe why maybe they're smarter than they look. It's hard to sue if they don't use your name.
Yeah, how did you become identified by Southern Poverty Law Center as a quote unquote white nationalist website?
They're inclined to call anybody who's critical of the current immigration flow white nationalist. I don't think I don't know that they use the term. They just call us a hate group, which is another curious thing, you know. I mean, there's no category in the law as hate speech. It's just hate speech that the left doesn't like. So they don't want to discuss the immigration issue at all, and so that's their way of suppressing it.
Well,
now, VDare.com is a forum site. We're focused on the immigration issue, and we run we'll run anybody from any political background or color or creed or whatever who is critical of the immigration disaster unleashed by the 1965 Immigration Act, which kicked off this great immigration influx after a period of 40, 50 years in which there was almost no immigration at all. We have environmentalists writing for us. We have one or two honest progressives writing for us who are concerned about the impact of immigration on working class wages, which is substantial. We've had doctors writing for us about what they see in the emergency rooms and with diseases being brought in because the borders aren't properly policed anymore. It's a wide range of things. And we do have some people who I would regard as white nationalists. That is to say, they defend white interests. They think that they're allowed to do that because whites have interest, just like, you know, Zionists defend Jews and the Laos defends Hispanics and that kind of thing. Now, that's a step which you're probably not supposed to take. You're not supposed to acknowledge the fact that whites have rights and whites have interests like everybody else.
Well, you're happy to know I have looked up on Southern Poverty Law Center, and you are identified as a white nationalist group.
So right, you're
you've made it. You've made it right there.
You know, it's just such ridiculousness.
They seem to have moved to this word. It used to be hate groups, and then it was white nationalists. And more recently, I started to see white supremacists again. That's a very interesting thing because white supremacy has a particular meaning in American history. It was the determination of the white South to maintain control of its political or institutions, and that's why they frustrated the efforts of blacks to get on the ballot and so on. As we've never advocated anything like that at all, it's obviously a misnomer in our case, but it's used interchangeably with white nationalists.
Well, white nationalists, the only time I've ever thought it was, you know, it had some meaning was in South Africa where the Boers, beginning in the 1990s, saw they're going to lose out, and so they proposed a homeland that would just be theirs. So they were, quote-unquote, white nationalists, i.e. they wanted to start a nation.
Yeah, the Afrikaner nationalists.
Yeah, Afrikaners. But it has no meaning. I'm sure there's somebody out there who says that we ought to have a separate part of the United States reserved to whites. That's what, two people? I mean, there's, you know, white supremacists, at least I get, right? Because then they're kind of, well, okay, whites ought to be above. And that's what the Jim Crow laws were, white supremacist laws,
right,
and some others. So it has some meaning. The white nationalist, though, is vague enough that they can tar anybody with
right.
it. And the white supremacist, we've got a quote we're going to play later for a different segment of the
Christian,
show.
A Christian.
So that Mike Pence is now a Christian supremacist.
It's like...
Christian supremacist.
Yeah.
That's bad. Well, you know, and here's where the white supremacists, what they're referring to is kind of neo-Nazis. And I think they get that a little bit, having covered crime and stuff, a lot of times law enforcement organizations and prison gang, you know, people who monitor those kind of things, talk about white supremacist gangs in prison. So it really clearly has a criminal, a violent connotation. And I mean, to me, it's just shame on Channel 4 for even going there, for not even attributing it, for buying the Southern Poverty Law Center's thing. And then, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, too, is because you kind of hit it before, you know, you could even bring immigration up as an issue. And because of President Trump, and I think the way he's just been plain spoken about the whole thing, Americans, most Americans anymore, identify this as one of the most important issues facing the country. And they're not saying it's one of the most important issues. We should have open borders. That's what we want. They all want immigration control. And it strikes me as bizarre that Channel 4 won't even acknowledge that Tom Tancredo might have a point or is anything but just like this radical. I mean, and I think the rest of the mainstream media is kind of the same, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And they're determined to keep this issue out of politics, it's really a sacred cow for them. And of course, from the Democrats' point of view, they think they're going to be able to elect new people. Right. And they're open about it. They're constantly talking about how the demographic shift is going to the coalition of the ascendant. You know, all this stuff. It means that they're going to get enough minorities in who have a marked tendency to vote Democratic that they'll be able to prevail over what we call the historic American nation, the nation that was here in 1965. I have to say, I don't think this governor candidate did a very good job in defending himself. I mean, he should just have said straight out, you know, that Tom Tancredi has a long and distinguished record on the immigration issue. He's been vindicated by the election of Trump.
Right. Well, no, I
furthermore, for that matter,
my point.
I guess nobody knows anything about the Ku Klux Klan, but you know, the Second Klan, which is what they're talking about, the organization which started in the 1920s,
right. It
was basically a fraternal organization, but it's huge. It had over 4 million people in it. You know, something like 15% of the eligible population was in it.
What?
In other words, there's all kinds of mechanisms of great grandfathers.
Exactly. I was saying that it's too bad we can't do an ancestry search or something, because I would imagine that given the number of people at a TV station, and as you said, given at the time the size of that organization, the KKK, that there are probably a few people at the TV station whose grandparents were in the KKK,
Great grandparents.
Right,
he died 25 years before this fellow was born. It's extraordinary.
This
is probably the most extreme case I've seen of, I would like to know, did any of did his grandfather or his father, for that matter, fight in the Second War or Korean War?
And also Ben Stapleton was part of the Klan, a secret member of it. He publicly criticized them and denigrated them, and in fact helped break up the Klan in 25 when he kind of split up. He was never a high-ranking official.
Was a Democrat.
And he was a Democrat.
By the way.
Yeah. But see, in America, that's what's so nice about being a Democrat. You can be Robert Byrd, the West Virginia senator, who really was a grand Kleagle in the Klan in West Virginia. And then Hillary Clinton praises him, says he's a mentor, he's everything beautiful. So Robert Byrd is all the roads. There's almost nothing in West Virginia, including toilets, are not named after Robert Byrd. And so he's sainted, of course. But a great-grandfather of somebody, so an actual Klan member who actually wrote negative things about blacks, while in fact Ben Stapleton promoted and helped blacks, generally speaking. But Robert Byrd is perfect because he's a Democrat. But Ben Stapleton is the world's worst person. He probably was either the first or second best mayor in the history of Denver. Not that he's wasn't flawed, and his kind of secretly belonging in the Klan while condemning it publicly would not be the highest moment of praise. But the idea that you can just pound it, and it's great, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the idea that this woman is mocking that he would have in his cabinet, and most cabinet members at a state level are really non-entities, right? These are not highly promoted. That he would have somebody as a presidential candidate, a multi-term congressman, a person who took 40% of the vote for governor a couple of years ago, that he would think, and he went along with it. I wouldn't have that scumbag within 10 miles of me. And that's what the Republican establishment always play. I mean, they always play. White supremacists will have no place in my administration, implying that some people thought they might, you know?
Right. Yeah.
That they just might have a wonderful place in your administration. They play to the game that, and you said you should be ashamed of yourself. 40% of the people voted this person for governor. Are you saying that all the people in Colorado who ever voted down Tancredi
are white supremacists,
unfit to own, occupy a job? But they never come back. They always play up to whatever the bigotry of the press is, and they fall for it every time.
I thought that Tom handled himself very well, frankly that he was useful for Stapleton, I guess, at the convention, and after that Stapleton was trying to run away from him, that, you know, he may have become a liability. But the fact is, Tancredi was not a liability in Colorado.
Right.
He did very well in Colorado.
Yes.
And the immigration issue is very important in Colorado, and the Sanctuary City issue is very important.
Yes, that's
and
exactly
that's
the point.
Stapleton should be talking about.
Yeah, Tom's been beaten up so long and so often that he's got the Stockholm syndrome going. And he's absolutely right. If Walker Stapleton's going to win, he's got to attract the unaffiliated.
Most
but he's
people
also got to get his own base out And by agreeing with him that he's a negative and that his views are unacceptable, he's implying that all those people's views are unacceptable.
Well, I don't think Tom said that. I think
Walker does. Walker believes that as all the establishment Republicans, they believe that the great unwashed, that they're not near them. And they don't like the great unwashed any more than the Democrats do.
One of the real things that, Trump is a very remarkable fellow. And one of the things he did in, I guess, the first debate was when he was confronted with some question he didn't like, he just said, oh, we don't have time for this kind of political correctness.
Yeah.
And that's a really important concept, because people do understand what political correctness is. And that's what Stapleton should have said here. I don't have time for this kind of political correctness. You know, we've got a state to save. But he didn't use the word political correctness at all.
Right.
Well, where do you guys, how do you, just a couple more questions for you. We're talking to Peter Brimlow, one of the organizers, the founder of the website VDare. How do you guys fight this then? When you have this, and here's the thing, like I said, I've known Sean Boyd, and I was shocked at just how biased and just how much of a hit job and how much of a hit job handed to her by the Democrats this was. How do organizations like VDare fight this kind of nonsense?
Well, most of the time we've relied on ridiculing it, and our supporters, we rely on donors, and they're very loyal, and they see this stuff and they send us these clips, and just basically the opposition to the truth shall set you free, but as I said, we are going to have to litigate, and we expect to litigate against Colorado Springs, by the way, because of violating our civil rights.
Please sue the mayor.
Can you fill us in a little bit on that? That's a very good idea. What's going on with that?
I'd rather not.
Okay.
Because the lawyers don't, we have a lawyer here, Chuck. Lawyers don't like talking about things like this, but we do intend to do it. I'm a writer and an editor, and I don't like things that I can't see on the screen. All my activities devoted to generating copy, and I guess we'll have to write a lot more.
All right. Well, keep us posted on that, Peter. We'd love to talk to you when that happens. Thank you for the time this afternoon, and thank you, for fighting the fight that you do.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Both of you.
Our thanks to Peter Brimlow here with Chuck and Julie on a Friday afternoon. When we come back, we got a packed show. 1:30, we're going to talk to Mark Lauder. He's the former special assistant to President Trump, press secretary to Vice President Pence. Going to talk about the Kavanaugh hearings that are set for next week.
Right.
And then at 2 o'clock, we're going to talk to Jeremy Tedesco. As I mentioned, the Justice Department and Jeff Sessions recently denounced the Southern Poverty Law Center. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then John Zimmerman. We had him on not that long ago. He's a very funny guy. The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism. A lot going on today. Just stay tuned here to 710 KNUS.
No real surprises on a busy Friday afternoon. This report brought to you by Denver Mattress. The Labor Day sale to Denver Mattress. Friday through Monday, get free Bose earbuds, a $300 Furniture Row gift card, or 50-inch LED TV with qualifying purchase, plus 7 years no interest. Sale ends Monday. Just seeing the usual slowdowns in the usual spots on the drive across town, and seeing those slowdowns south of Castle Rock on southbound I-25 from Larkspur down to Monument. If you're heading to the high country, yes, it's loaded up on westbound I-70 from Floyd Hill down to Central City Parkway. Rick Morgan, 710 KNUS, First Alert Traffic.
Join 94.7 FM, The Word, for the Christian Grandparenting Conference on Saturday, September 22nd at Faith Bible Chapel in Arvada. Learn about long-distance grandparenting, the biblical role of grandparents, and even how to handle grandkids coming to live with you. This day-long conference includes lunch and a resource fair of ministries and businesses that are here to support you as a grandparent. Go to 94.7FMTheWord.com to register for the Christian Grandparenting Conference on Saturday, September 22nd. Brought to you by Thrivent Financial Mountain Plains Group, Faith Bible Chapel, and 94.7 FM, The Word.
Hi, this is Oren, owner of Absolutely Cabinets. For almost 30 years, Aristocraft and Decor have proven to be among the most consistent cabinet companies in regard to shipping, quality, and price. I have experimented with several companies over the years and have always found that the overall reliability of Aristocraft and Decor has overcome any perceived benefits offered by others. Please bring in your kitchen or bath dimensions, and we'll assist you with planning your kitchen layout. If you already have a layout, come in and pick a style and get a price. Thanks to all of you that have returned to us or that have referred someone to us over the years.
Go see Orrin today, owner of Absolutely Cabinets, and browse his showroom at 5940 West 38th Avenue. That's at the southeast corner of Harlan and 38th Avenue. Or call Orrin at 303-425-5592. That's 303-425-5592 for Absolutely Cabinets.
It's summertime in the Mile High City. Are you ready to get outside and enjoy all that Colorado has to offer? Maybe you can't, though, because you're in chronic pain. Hi, it's Stephen Tubbs. If you have any knee, hip, shoulder pain, maybe considering surgery to feel better, give Denver Physical Medicine and Rehab a call. They'll give you a free stem cell therapy consultation. Using stem cells to cure disease is one of the hottest topics in the world of knee pain, arthritis, and joint injury treatment. Stem cell therapy can get you feeling better without having to undergo an invasive surgical procedure. This virtually painless, safe, and effective procedure takes just about an hour. Before you make any drastic decisions that could put you out of life and work for a while, give Denver Physical Medicine and Rehab a call. They'll give you your free stem cell therapy consultation. You've got nothing to lose but your precious and negative time and pain. To learn more about this regenerative medicine in Denver and how it can help you live a fuller, pain-free life, visit denverphysicalmedicine.com. For more info, call 1-888-PAIN-BE-GONE. That's 888-PAIN-BE-GONE, denverphysicalmedicine.com, and tell them Stefan sent you.
Hi, friends. This is Jeff Hunt, director of the Centennial Institute. You know, the past few months, the Denver Post and other liberals have really come after us. Someone said that if you're taking this much flack, you must be over the target. That's exactly right, and that's exactly where we want to be. Friends, every day, the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University seeks to impact our culture in support of traditional family values, the sanctity of life, compassion for the poor, biblical view of human nature, limited government, personal freedom, free markets, natural law, original intent of the Constitution, and Western civilization. I hope you'll join us by getting involved with the Centennial Institute. To learn more about the Centennial Institute, visit ccu.edu/centennial. That's ccu.edu/centennial. The liberals in Colorado want us to give up our biblical conservative values. That won't happen on our watch. Join the Centennial Institute and get involved today.
To prevent muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com. Ask your pharmacist for TheraWorks Relief. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 job boards with just one click, and then their smart matching technology finds the right candidates. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Summer is the time for weddings, baby showers, and a lot of birthday celebrations. You'll be the hit of that party with some of the most delicious cupcakes from one of Denver's best-known bakeries, Kane's Creative Cakes. Denver Half Price is bringing you an amazing cupcake special exclusively for our listeners. Half Price Cupcakes. Head on over to DenverHalfPrice.com to get this limited cupcake offer. For Half Price Cupcakes, Kane's Creative Cakes, Cupcakes Special. Details at DenverHalfPrice.com. Cupcakes for Half Price.
Congressman Doug Lamborn says the Colorado Civil Rights Commission is at it again. We'll have more in the news on KNUS.
Now, back to Chuck Bonawa and Julie Hayden on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Chuck Bonawa, Julie Hayden, 131 here on a Friday. I'm kind of enjoying watching a little of the Aretha Franklin service. She only has one, though. She doesn't have a whole week's worth like McCain's ego fest that he got to plan every day for
Chuck, we'll go into that later. Okay. Right now we have Mark Lauder.
No, we don't yet.
Oh, we're getting Mark Lauder.
We're getting Mark Lauder.
The former special assistant to President Trump, press secretary to Vice President Pence, now president of Lauder Communications. We've talked with Mark before. Wanted to talk to him a little bit about the Kavanaugh hearings coming up next week. I think they start on the 4th, as I believe. Hey, Mark, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're very good, thank you. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Where are you? We're in Denver, where it's gorgeous. Where in the universe are you?
I am just outside of the swamp, and it's hot and humid, as you would expect in August. Everybody gets out of this city in the month of August.
There you go.
Are you in Maryland or are you in Virginia?
Virginia.
Okay. Hey, so I wanted to talk to you about the Supreme Court nomination hearings that start next week. The Democrats are screaming, I forget what the reason is now. They always have another reason why they have to delay him. Oh, I know, it was the Cohen stuff and Manafort stuff, why they have to delay him. Is that going to work? And they haven't gotten all of the 1 trillion pages of documents that they're demanding. What do you predict? I mean, it seems like it's going to start on time. What are you hearing and what do you know?
It will start on time, and let's be honest, the real reason why the Democrats want to delay this is because of pure politics.
Right.
They don't want their Democratic senators from states the president won to have to vote on this confirmation before they face their own voters in the midterm elections. And there's a very simple reason for that. If these Democrat senators vote in favor of the president's highly qualified nominee, they're going to aggravate the radical socialist, you know, protesting base, the people they're counting on to knock on doors and make phone calls before the election. If they vote against them and appease those radicals, then they're going to alienate the very voters they need to win over in November to go back into office. So they're in between a rock and a hard place, but nothing is going to, that I've seen so far or heard, is going to derail the confirmation hearing starting next week. And I predict that you're going to see Justice Brett Kavanaugh take his seat on the United States Supreme Court by the end of September, right before they start their new term in October.
You know, and you hit a point there, because what the reality is that the Democrats, some of them try to ignore, and that's why they're facing this dilemma in the midterms, is that most American people want the justice, Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh to be, well, would be Supreme Court Justice, to be confirmed, right?
It's pretty close. If you look at the polls, it's pretty close.
But I mean,
yeah,
but most
absolutely.
People want him there.
And, I mean, he was just rated, he was given a unanimous, well-qualified rating from the American Bar Association. It's the highest rating that they can give a potential judicial nominee. He got the highest ranking.
And I must admit, I was thrilled the other day when the ABA, who I cannot stand, I was a member of the ABA before they went totally off the rails. They rated somebody highly unqualified. He was not qualified, and he got confirmed anyway. So good for them.
Well, what do you
but you even see Bob Bennett, who was a former Clinton lawyer, talking about how Brett Kavanaugh is immensely qualified. And that's the key here. I mean, five times more documents have been produced for Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation than the previous two nominees. He's had the most documents produced for this nomination of any justice nominee.
Well, he's been on the D.C. Court of Appeals for 12 years. Yeah, if you don't have any idea what he stands for, it's one thing, you have some person.
Right,
you don't know anything
clear,
about.
Right.
And they've never taken a position on anything. Their problem is not that he's not qualified, is that he is qualified, that he's bright, intelligent, and a conservative. And they don't make any bones about it anymore. You know, they used to pretend, well, you're out of the mainstream, you know, legal mainstream, which they meant whatever far left loony stuff they believed in. But now they're not even permanent. And quite frankly, and here's my prediction, the only chance they have against Kavanaugh is a high-tech lynching. They've got to bring in their Anita Hill. They've got to bring in their one. And I guarantee they're sitting back there kind of going,
trying to find somebody.
Well, no, they found somebody.
I mean, they were even using their their attack dogs to try to find pictures of him sitting at baseball games and trying to make the fact that he enjoys America's pastime.
Right.
He bought some tickets, didn't he? I mean, my God. And he bought some. And he bought some whose friend wanted to.
Gave it to his friend.
No, didn't give it to him. He didn't have enough money to give it to him. He hasn't worked a real job in his life, to tell
you
the
truth.
Well,
but we're talking with Mark Waterman.
Let's talk about that, because that's my favorite part. No. He hasn't had a real job his entire life. I mean, I clerk.
He's been a judge.
That's not a real job. I clerk for Wizard White during the summer, and I clerk for 10th Circuit. And you know, when I the first week into my clerking for Gene Breitenstein, he brought me into his office and said, well, what's your exit plan? And I kind of went, oh, what do you mean? Your exit plan for get out of the law. And I go, well, I haven't even started. I got this job and hoping to get another job. And he said, look, you know, practicing law is the greatest thing to start out. Nothing could be better. But if you spent your whole life practicing law, you've had one miserable life. He said, now, I'm a judge. He said, that's not, you know, I leave here at 5 o'clock. I don't have to worry about the payroll. I've got my pension for the rest of my life. This is not a real job. And Brett Kavanaugh, God bless him, but all he's ever been is clerks and judges. He's never had a hard day's work in his life. God bless him.
Well,
that's just great.
I will tell you, he did serve as staff secretary to the former president, George W. Bush, and having known a few of those in my time, they do work quite hard and long hours
pushing paper
in that position.
They're pushing
paper.
The biggest knock against Judge Kavanaugh is that he actually believes the rule of law as it is written and not what the liberals want it to be. And that's why he's going to be a justice on the United States.
They're going to poll. If they realize that, you know, unless he...
Well, let me interrupt you for a second, Chuck, because you can see them fighting. Jared Polis, who's a Democrat, he's a congressman, but he's a Democratic candidate for governor here, yesterday actually gave a speech where he said more women will die, right, if Kavanaugh becomes the Supreme Court. I mean, I don't think he said reference Kavanaugh by name, but that was clearly the implication. So they're going that weird, more women will die, and it's not clear why more women will die. But he flat out
abortion.
Said, well, I know, but how that correlates to women
illegal
dying.
Abortions, what they're saying.
But, I mean, it's just ridiculous, the tactics that they're trying to use.
Well, they'll go to the Ninth Circuit. He clerked for a judge that got thrown off just recently. He's a brilliant judge and everything else, but he got thrown off for that. And they'll try to find another clerk that'll say something. That's their only chance.
Well, it's all about politics, and I am quite positive that it's not going to work, and that's the good thing. We're going to get this thing started next week, and I believe there will be at least full days of questioning on Wednesday and Thursday next week from senators on both sides with Judge Kavanaugh, and I would expect that you'd have a committee vote a few days after that, and then it will go to the full Senate. And it looks really good right now in the full Senate. Right now you see the Republicans are sticking together.
Yes.
After our country finishes this week with honoring the life and legacy of Senator John McCain, Governor Ducey in Arizona is expected to name, you know, a replacement for the red seat.
Do you have anybody you like?
I'm not, having worked for a governor before, give any of my
muddy the waters there.
I'm sure he'll make a great choice, but by law, he has got to appoint a Republican to fill that vacancy. So we will have that 51st vote in the United States Senate before that full confirmation comes up by the end of the month is what I would anticipate. And as long as the Republicans stick together, and I do think you will see a few Democrats cross over. We had that last year on Justice Gorsuch. I think three came over. Not surprisingly, all three were in states that where the president won overwhelmingly, and they're all on the ballot this fall. So
yeah.
I would anticipate that politics will rule the day again, and a few of them will do against the bidding of Chuck Schumer, but it won't be very many. He'll go through.
As a practical matter, what will happen is if the Republicans seem to be solid and he'll get through anyway, Susan Collins doesn't break off, Murkowski doesn't break off, if it looks like the Republicans will get it anyway, then three Democratic senators will vote for him. If, in fact, one does break away and they would not get elected without Democratic votes, none of them will vote for him. But right
It would definitely take more than one if with the 51, with
that's true.
A replacement
that's true.
For Senator
that's true.
McCain,
yeah,
the vice president would vote to break the tie, so it would take two.
Just one more question for you, Mark, to go over kind of procedurally, because my guess would be, you know, you said we'll hear some questioning. My guess would be that we'll actually hear a lot of speech making by various people in terms of, and at the end they'll be like, what was the question there? I mean, can they drag it out that long? I mean, can it be almost a filibuster thing, or is there a time limit?
Well, they will have a chance to make their opening statements on Tuesday, and then they will have whatever their time allotted is, and how they choose to use it is really entirely up to them. There will be some questioning, but I'm sure you're correct. It will be a 60-second speech followed by a 5-second question, and then obviously the judge will be allowed to answer. So. It should be entertaining. Supposed to be informative. I mean, this is a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land, and I'm sure most in the Senate will do their due diligence as they're required to. I'm sure many also, especially on the Democrat side, will appease to their radical base and try to grandstand. But there's really nothing that the Democrats can do to stop this nomination as long as the Republicans stay together.
Yeah, all right. And that's such a great feeling. I mean, usually it's Republicans that are between a rock and a hard place, and it's sort of nice to see the Democrats being in that
position. Yeah, between a rock and a hard place now.
What you described.
Mark, hey, we got to let you go. Thank you for your time. I hope you get out of there, too, to enjoy the holiday weekend and less hot.
Unfortunately, I can't get out this weekend. I got to stick around and do Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace.
All right. Well, very good.
But watch for
you there.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Mark Lauder there. When we come up, we're going to take we'll take phone calls when we come back. 303-696-1971. You're listening to Chuck and Julie on News Talk 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710. Update.
Republican Congressman Doug Lamborn is accusing the Colorado Civil Rights Commission of religious bias following its decision last June against Jack Phillips, the owner of Colorado's Masterpiece Cake Shop. The commission says that Phillips discriminated against a transgender woman who wanted him to create a cake to celebrate her gender transition. Lamborn said the commission was on a crusade against the baker who refused to make a cake for a gay couple. That was at the heart of a recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. President Trump is stepping up his attacks on the Justice Department and the FBI as investigations of possible ties between the 2016 campaign and the Russian government continue. Trump said that what's happening is a disgrace, and if he has to, he will step in and fix it. Crews will get to work next week on the I-25 South Gap project. They'll be adding a toll lane in each direction between Monument and Castle Rock. During yesterday's groundbreaking ceremony, Governor Hickenlooper said the collaborative effort will go a long way to save lives and reduce congestion. AAA is predicting this Labor Day weekend will be expensive for your gas tank more than in the last 4 years. The spike at the pump should just last for the holiday. If you're flying this weekend, you'll be joined by 16 million other Americans. I'm Mark Howington. That's your news. Here now is First Alert Traffic on KNUS.
Busy drive across town, the usual spots, and heading out of town right now. This report brought to you by Furniture Row. This Friday through Monday, it's the Super Labor Day sale at Furniture Row. Get $100 off every $1,000 you spend on the best selection of furniture. Hurry. Labor Day sale at Furniture Row ends Monday. Seeing the usual slowdowns on the highway drive across town right now, and busy heading out of town south of Castle Rock, heading out of the Springs. Delays on southbound I-25, Larkspur to Monument. If you're heading west, find those delays on westbound I-70 from Floyd Hill through Idaho Springs out to Empire. Rick Morgan, 710 KNUS, First Alert Traffic.
Are you ready to retire? Do you have a plan for when the paychecks stop? Dennis Prager here for Wally Smith at Ridgegate Financial. Income planning is one of the five keys to a successful retirement. You've worked hard and saved, but now you need a specific plan for when to access your Social Security and each of your retirement assets. For your free Social Security analysis and personal retirement review, call Wally Smith at 303-PLANNER. That's 303-752-6637. Ridgegate Financial creates retirement plans to help make your retirement everything you've dreamed of, not just 20 to 30 years of unemployment. Your personal retirement plan will help you to sail through stock market corrections and crashes with confidence. You need a plan for when the paychecks stop. For your free Social Security analysis and personal retirement review, call Wally Smith at 303-PLANNER or visit RidgegateFinancial.com. 303-PLANNER, 303-752-6637, RidgegateFinancial.com.
Imagine an outdoor room that is the envy of all your friends, family, and neighbors. That's what DeckTech does. I'm Steve Spark, and my company, DeckTech Outdoor Designs, has designed and built over 3,000 spectacular custom decks and patio roofs in many of the most beautiful areas around Denver and the Front Range. DeckTech understands you need to remodel the back of your homes for the same reason you remodel indoors. You want space, function, and appeal to go along with your own personal style. If you'd like to improve your home and outdoor lifestyle, contact DeckTech for a free consultation at DeckTech.com. With DeckTech's team of design-build specialists, you can relax, entertain, and make outdoor leisure living a reality for your home by going to DeckTech.com. That's DeckTech.com. Don't let another season go by. Enjoy your deck or outdoor room this season or receive special sale pricing on select installation dates. Call DeckTech at 303-277-1550.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work, because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts KICK to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting KICK to 88988. That's K-I-C-K to 88988.
Looking to buy a home or refinance your home? How about a reverse mortgage? Before you do anything, call OneSource Lending at 303-220-7500.
Hi, I'm Jim Mitchell, and if you're working with a bank or a credit union on your home loan, call me, and in 5 minutes, I can show you how you can save an average of $5,000 on your closing costs. Not only do we beat the banks and credit unions' rates and fees, we simplify the complicated by making it fast and easy.
Visit OneSourceDenver.com or call 303-220-7500. 500 and talk to OneSource Lending first. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 389770.
Go to 710KNUS.com to download our free mobile app and listen to 710KNUS on your phone anytime, anywhere. Message and data rates apply. Now, back to Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden on News Talk 710 KNUS.
All right, Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden here on a Friday. We got some great guests coming up at 2 and 2:30, I think.
That's right. We got Jeremy Tedesco. Going to talk to him. He is with the Alliance for Defending Freedom, another organization that the Southern Poverty Law Center has declared a hate white nationalist group. I guess a Christian supremacy group, perhaps. And he is going to talk a little bit about earlier this summer in a speech at the Alliance for Defending Freedom. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said, hey, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center is completely discredited as an organization, so we're not even going to pay attention to that. Randy Corcoran is going to call and tell us what he's got going on tomorrow. And then at 3 o'clock, John Zemirak, the politically incorrect guide to Catholicism.
He's very funny. Well, let's go to the lines. Dave wants to comment on John McCain. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hi, guys. Quickie PS. This guy was just a loose cannon, McCain. He was unbalanced. He was all over the place. He almost didn't graduate from Annapolis, as I recall. He was just a few points from fucking out, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the fifth lowest in his class.
Yeah, it is kind of... It was kind of interesting when you looked at the coverage. You know, they had all the barricades set up, I guess, for anticipated potential crowds, which did not materialize. You know, here's my thing is, you know, John McCain, I'm sure, is in a better place now. And whatever baggage he, like all of us, carried, you know, I think he's been able to set that down. And so that's, you know, good. And I feel for his family. Right. I think it's a little of the main reason I think this has been such a big deal is made is because the mainstream media, they love him now because he criticized Donald Trump all the time. And so they can. Did you see the Denver Post? What a ridiculous article. Front page story. Criticize on one hand, acknowledging that President Donald Trump was actually asked by the McCain family to not come to the funeral. We won't even get into that. So the Post acknowledges that and then kind of criticizes him for not going to the funeral and saying he's not presidential, he's not showing up at public events. I mean, Donald Trump is in public every day. You know, he's all over the place. It's just outrageous.
Well, he hated Republicans more than he did Democrats.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and Republicans hated him. More Republicans disliked him than disliked him in Arizona, but he had Democratic support, so he did. Part of the reason why we have this, you know, week-long slobber fest is because he's, you know, he knew that he was going to pass away, and so he had months to plan for it. But during that month, he said, okay, I want to make sure the President of the United States, who is the Commander-in-Chief, keep him out. By the way, Sarah Palin, who's been the most loyal, decent, honorable person, keep her out. He also said, Steve Schmidt, my campaign manager, but we lost, keep him out. Nicole Wallace, keep her out. I mean, he spent all his time being petty and small, even from the grave.
Quick study in contrast. A couple of years ago, we lost a guy named Neil Armstrong.
Oh, he was great.
Totally 180 from McCain, everything he was and he was. And I tell you, a moon landing is a lot more complicated than anything. But he was cool, he's selective, he was unegotistical. And I could have seen Armstrong as president.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
Me too.
Total contrast.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, Dave.
But, you know, you've heard much less about Armstrong than you did about McCain.
Right.
That's
well, not only that.
Armstrong didn't betray people in the back. And so
although, did you see the new movie that they've made about that? The landing.
Yeah.
They're not going to let, even though the key moment is when they put the American flag on the moon, right? And they're not going to.
It doesn't fit with the storyline.
It doesn't fit with the storyline. That is the storyline. You know, we're not going to have them land on the moon either because that's offensive to somebody.
Yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Moon-centric.
Anyway. All right.
Thanks, John.
Take care.
Hey, and real quick, too, you know, again, the left never miss an opportunity to politicize something. At Aretha Franklin's funeral, which was going on today, and as far as I know, Aretha Franklin was not a particularly political person one way or the other. Well, you never heard about it, but Al Sharpton used this as I wonder if you're Aretha Franklin, you're like, why is Al Sharpton here, right? But used it as to attack Trump.
Well, Casey's got the sound.
We thank her for what she did with Dr. King. We thank her for what she's done with Reverend Jackson. We thank her for what she's done with all of us. And that is why, you know, the other Sunday on my show, I misspelled respect. And a lot of y'all corrected me. Now I want y'all to help me correct President Trump to teach him what it means. And I say that because when word had went out that Miss Franklin passed, Trump said she used to work for me. No, she used to perform for you. She worked for us. Aretha never took orders from nobody but God.
I don't think that the Trump president said she worked for him like that. Well, but I don't think he meant it like that.
Right. He'd hired her.
Right. It's just, well, anyway.
Well, how do you, I mean, even given the not excessively high IQ of Al Franken, how do you misspell respect?
And that's
that's not easy to misspell respect.
But either way,
it's not.
But I can see sometimes in your life, you know, people make mistakes, and that's whatever. But for him to turn around, like I said, I'm not a giant biographical font of knowledge about Aretha Franklin, but I never had the impression that she was a particularly political. I mean, she liked performing, but she wasn't that out there, you know what I mean? There's some performers.
I have no idea, but they're gonna politicize anything they can, and they politicize everything. There's no amount of anything that you can expect them not to politicize it. And it's just they're at it 24/7, and it's amazing. We're almost out of time.
Right.
Never mind. I was going to go to another one, but
no, we don't have time. We're
no,
gonna,
no,
when
no.
We, no, 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 Chuck. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jeremy Tedesco. He's a senior counsel vice president with the Alliance Defending Freedom. Those are the folks, and actually, KNUS, we had to kind of help raise some money for them too. Defended Jack Phillips, and are going to have to defend Jack Phillips again because the Colorado Civil Rights Commission is going after him again. Talk about vindictive. And talk to him about the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's the organization that that Sean Boyd, the Channel 4 reporter, used their discredited reference about hate groups to smear Tom Tancredo and Walker Stapleton. And so I want to talk to him because Jeff Sessions earlier this month said, you know, hey, look, there was a time when I worked in the South with the Southern Poverty Law Center, but he said anymore, they're just a hate mongering group themselves. And it's not so much hate groups as it is groups we hate. And the mainstream media and now Channel 4 is entirely complicit and using them, even though
is Channel 4 a hate channel?
There you go. Maybe. You're listening to Chuck and they're not. Maybe though. Chuck and Julie on News Talk 710 KNUS.